So how many of you like love Christmas time, right? Love decorating, all those things. How many of you just are just okay with it? I mean, you love Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about, but Christmas is not your favorite time. Be honest. Is there anybody? Okay. There's several people, a couple people. Yeah. So I had mixed feelings, man. I used to love decorating for Christmas and doing Christmas stuff. I always love celebrating, but I had to hang lights, Christmas lights on 16 commercial buildings when I worked at Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And then they decided to leave them up for a whole year because they didn't want to take them down. And then they wanted to use the same ones next year. How many of you guys have ever like put them in a box and brought them back out and they not work? And you had to go through, let alone leave them on the top of buildings that are 10 story, like 5-10 stories tall, slamming against it and then have to fix them all. So for a long time, I didn't even do Christmas decorations at my house. I said, you can put up a tree, babe, but I'm done. But now I have kids, you know, so I'm kind of getting back into it and enjoying it. And one of the things that struck me this year about everything, and I shared this with you guys maybe a week or two ago or last week or something, it was something that I saw, and it kind of just hit me a little bit, and it said this. It said, if someone who did not know what Christmas was about, was not a part of our culture, had never heard of it, if they walked into my home, what would they think Christmas was all about? Like, what picture, what idea would they get from seeing the way I celebrate this season? Would it be a fat guy that comes down the chimney? Would it be? And look, I love playing Santa Claus, y'all. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't have the beard yet, man. But when I get older, I'm gonna grow out the hair and the beard, and I'm gonna rock it, man. I'm be that Santa Claus guy. No, probably not. My wife wouldn't let me, but it would be fun, right? But I love playing and pretending and having fun. But again, are there any kids in here? No. Yeah. Yes. I missed a kid. I ain't going to say what I was about to say. I ain't going to say it. Y'all get what I was about to say, right? I teach my kids about God who can do anything. And I teach them that. And then we play other things that they know we're playing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Hopefully that was well. I don't want to ruin it for nobody, you know. But I remember as a kid, my dad did the same thing with me. He taught me all those things. And that's how I did it. And how many of you know everybody does it different? You probably do it different than I do it. And how many of you know, it's not that you guys are wrong and I'm right, because that's not the way it works. It's that God gives each one of us the wisdom to do what he's called us to do in our kids' lives and the people around us. And some of it, sometimes it works really, really good. Sometimes it doesn't work really, really good, right? How many of you have had some of those moments? I'm going to cut back to the other one, sorry. Had those moments in your life? Can you hear me now? All right. Hopefully without crackling. I remember. I'm gonna get to the message in a minute. Sorry, y'all. I remember when hearing this statement, and I hear it all the time. And I remember saying this statement, like, "We're not gonna have kids until we're ready." But how many of you know you're never ready for kids? Like, no matter how much you plan, no matter how much you think you're like, it's time. We're ready. When they come, right? That's just what happens. And that's the dads at that moment. So we are, even though we think we know what we're supposed to do, we don't always do it right, right? And I think that it's important. That's why it's important that we walk by the Spirit and listen to what he says and how he does things. But for me, this, like I said, this season, this year, man, God's really been dealing with me on if people that didn't understand what Christmas was all about came around me and hung out with me for a little bit, would they even understand? What would they think Christmas was about? And I want to make sure that myself and my family, that we do those things. And a lot of things that you hear right now that you go through is, like, everywhere you go, there's Christmas carols. How many of you are those people that turn Christmas carols on, like, in July, right? Like, my wife, man, she listens to Christmas carols all year round. And you know what? We label them as Christmas carols, right? But the original ones, now I'm not talking about Santa Baby and all those things, but I'm talking about, you know, the real ones, right? All they're doing is proclaiming Jesus and why he came and that he's here, man. Joy to the world, right? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive our King, right? That's the gospel message right there. Here he came. He came for you. He came for me. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. He's here. Peace on earth, right? All these things. Oh, come all ye faithful, right? How many of you like that one? Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. It says, come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come. Christmas, like the rest of the season, the rest of the things that we celebrate, like I said with Thanksgiving and I say Valentine's Day and all these different times, is Easter. This is something we should be celebrating all year round, not just at one point. Not just at one point. And that last one, oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Because sometimes I'm not so faithful. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I'm not very joyful. And I don't feel triumphant. Right? So does that mean that I'm not supposed to come to him? Right? That he's not calling to me? No, it doesn't. Because this is the thing all throughout the scripture when you read, when you think about Jesus, about why he came in his ministry, when he's doing things. I can't wait to get into his ministry. We're just starting to get into the good part, into Luke, right? We're just starting to get going so that we understand what's going on. But the question that I want us to think about this morning, what I want us to understand this morning, is Jesus is here. He's come, right? There should be peace. There should be joy. We should be triumphant, but sometimes we're not. And I think part of it is because we forget why Jesus came and who he calls. Who he calls. Who does Jesus call? In your notes, it's A. I'm going to read a scripture to you, and then we're gonna say it. It says, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Holman version says, the ACSB says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How many of you need some rest? How many of you, if you realize, when people turn to Jesus, usually, it's because they're in a really bad spot. And you know why that is? Because we think we can do it on our own, and we don't understand we need some help. It's only at the point where our lives are at like a devastating point that we understand, wow, I need some help in this. I need some help in this. Like for me, I didn't turn to him until I was flat on my back. That's why I say, why does God knock you? Why do you get knocked flat on your back before you see him? Because that's only because you're looking straight up. That's like this. God, it's just you up there, right? Because you're not standing on your feet. Most of the time, when we come to him, it's because we have such issues in our life. And we finally understand that he's the only one that can take care of those issues. He's the only one that can give us freedom from this. Scriptures, I mean, not scriptures, but the other songs that we sing, some of the other ones, like it's the most wonderful time of the year. But for some people, Christmas isn't the most wonderful time of the year. Some people, it's the most difficult time of the year. They've lost a loved one. Maybe they're separated from their family. Maybe they're in the military, right? And they're away from their family, and they don't get to be there with their kids or with what's going on, or it's difficult. Now there is something that says that I ain't gonna go there. I'm gonna say something different. It's the most difficult time of the year. And this is the thing. It's the time of year that we should be sharing Jesus Christ the most with people. Right? This is our opportunity because baby Jesus is everywhere, right? How many of you, that's one of the biggest problems we have. We still see him as baby Jesus. He's all grown up now, y'all. And the scripture says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me, right? What does that mean? He's talking to him saying, hey, God, he's having a really rough time, and I understand exactly how he feels, right? That's what the scripture says. We don't have a high priest that doesn't understand what we're going through. That's the Toby translation, but that's what it says. He understands why, because he came down and he lived the life that you and I live, right? He had the same issues that you and I have, the things that we face. He went through all of it, and he understands exactly where we're at. And that's why he sits next to the Father and says, God, look, man, this is what's happening. Look. That's how I see it in my mind. It's what that scripture means to me. He intercedes for me. He's talking to God on my behalf. He's talking to him and saying, man, he's kind of beat down right now. What can I do? It's like, whatever you can. And I say that because we don't allow him to do things in our life. We carry them ourselves. We carry them, we make excuses as to why we're heavy burdened and we're weighed down, why we're weary. Well, I'm just, you know, it's just where I'm at in life. Look, you don't have to be there in life. That's the one good thing about God has given us everything that we need to be overcomers in this world. We're going to read more. I'm getting ahead of myself. The next group of people that he called, sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have issues. No matter how far we've come, we still battle things. I got to sit down with a friend of mine the other day, y'all. Did I tell y'all about last week? I don't know. Yeah, I got to sit down with him and go through certain things. And it was so amazing to be able to sit with somebody I used to run with 20 years ago that says, I'm done. I want to give my life to Christ. I've given my life to Christ. I want to be different. How can I do it? I've seen the difference in you, and I know that it's real. I want it for myself, right? We get in a mentality that we are sin, that we've got so many issues, that we got so many problems, that you don't understand what I've done. And the truth of the matter is that he already knows everything we've done. I love a thing that was on my Facebook page. I shared it the other day. Somebody, or maybe I didn't share it. I don't know. I think I did. But it said this. It said, when God called you into ministry, he already factored in your stupidity. Right? I'm not talking about you guys. That was to me, right? He already factored in my stupidity. When he put the life that he has for me, he already understood I'm an idiot, I'm a bonehead at times, and I'm not going to pay attention right. And he already factored all that in and still has an opportunity for ministry. Jesus came for those who have issues, y'all. So we're perfect. Perfect candidates to come to him. Matthew 9:12-13 says this. It says, but when he heard it, he said, let me tell you what he heard. So Jesus calls Matthew, the tax collector, to come and be a part of, so come and follow me. And Matthew, being excited, what did he do? He did what a lot of us do when we first receive Christ. He goes, tells his friends, hey, you guys, come to my house. I'm having dinner. Jesus is going to come, y'all. Come hang out. And so all these sinners and tax collectors come, and they're having dinner, and they're hanging out, and the holy people come by. The church of the time comes by and says, why are you hanging out with them? Don't you understand who they are? And this is his response. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but for sinners. He came for us. He came because he knew we couldn't handle it, that we couldn't do it, that we were going to be messed up, and that we needed a Savior. We needed fixing. We wonder why Jesus came and how, what the purpose was. And it's all because of you and because of me. It's all because of access to the Father. So how do we come to him? We come to him broken, burdened. But this is the thing, he doesn't leave us that way. He offers us a new way. And I want to say something, and I want you to hear me through before you jump on it, okay? Salvation is not a process. Salvation is a gift. Me being an overcomer and living a joyful life, that's a process. That's where the process comes. But there's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. Therefore, it can't be a process, right? When I turn to him, and this is how I believe, y'all. When I turn to him and I said, Jesus, I can't do it. Forgive me. I'm saved at that moment, right? I'm forgiven. But sometimes the change that comes in my life isn't as night and day. Sometimes I hold on to things. There's some people I met, man, that as soon as they turn, some areas of my life, God completely changed the moment that I came to him. Completely. He took away the alcohol. He took away a lot of different things. If I, and this is the thing. If I would have met my wife a month before I met her, she would have had nothing to do with me. That's how drastically my life changed, right? That's how drastically it changed. Did I still have a lot of issues I needed to overcome? Yes. Do I still? Yes. There's situations and things that I'm dealing with. Now, some people are like, well, that's not a very big situation. But to me, it is. To me, it is. Sometimes we look at problems and issues and sins and different things as in degrees. Well, that one's really bad and this one's not. Scripture says that don't happen. A sin is a sin is a sin, and it separates us from God. We have to be careful that we don't get into the place of the publican in the center where he looks and says, man, thank you, God, I ain't like that guy no more. Look how jacked up he is. I'm holy now. Right? And he's over there saying, forgive me, God, because I need you. The thing is when we come to Jesus, we come messed up. And the cool thing is he doesn't leave us that way. He brings us out of it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When we accept him, we're made new, y'all. Some of us need to tell us that. Right? If I'm new, I need to be different. I need to be changed. I need to be different. And that's one of the things Jesus came to do. What did he come to do? What does he help us become? What does Jesus help us become? Number two in your notes. The first thing is he helps us become more faithful. More faithful. Oh, come all ye faithful. Sometimes I'm not that way. Faithful in the dictionary says remaining loyal and steadfast. Remaining loyal and steadfast. How many of you think the disciples were loyal? They were at times. And then there was one time that they ran away. Remember? That would be when he was on the cross. Right? They weren't that faithful then. There's sometimes that we're super faithful, right? And then there's sometimes that we're not so faithful. Scripture tells us that he helps us become faithful. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which clings closely to us. That's one of my favorite scriptures to read, y'all. Do you know why? Because we only think of our weight as being our sin. And we got to understand that it's not just sin that holds us back from being what God wants us to be. There are some things that we keep in our life that we hold on to, that we do over and over and over, that's not sin, but it doesn't help us do what he's called us to do or be who he's called us to be. Well, is it wrong for me to do this? No, but it's probably going to hinder you from being able to share the gospel with other people, right? One of the biggest things is language, right? I'm just going to be, y'all, don't get mad at me, y'all. Who decided curse words were curse words? Not the scripture, right? We did, right? People, society. That's why 20 years ago, you couldn't say anything on TV, and today you turn it on and it's all over the TV. Why? Because society is determining what is right and wrong to say and right and wrong to do, right? Y'all stick with me. Stick with me, okay? Some of y'all just turn me off like, well, he just said curse words aren't bad. That's not what I said. I said who determines those things. But let me tell you something. If I'm saying those things, if I'm using those things, if I'm posting those things, then guess what? There's going to be people that aren't going to listen to me about what Jesus has to say. And they're going to look at it, and in their mind, you know what they're going to say? Or maybe even to people, I thought they were a Christian. How come they're doing that kind of stuff? Right? So is it wrong? For me it is, because I got rid of all that stuff. For me it is. I ain't putting that on you. You talk to God about that. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in those things. But this is the thing. It is going to stop you from being able to minister to people. It will. It will stop you from being effective. See, Jesus helps us to be more faithful to him, to God, in the way we talk, in the way we act, in the things that we do. And because of that, guess what? He gets the glory for it. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How many of you know the cross wasn't joyful? Right? That's not the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? The fact that you and I could have access and freedom to the Father. Sometimes we don't do stuff because it's difficult. It's hard on me. I'm trying to be gentle, y'all. I'm going to say it. You know that moment where you're psyching yourself up to say something because you know it might not be, it might go better in your head than it does when it comes out your mouth? The problem with our church, not our church, the church, the body of Christ, is that we only serve if it's comfortable for us. If it's uncomfortable, we don't, that's not what we should do. But we look at Jesus' life, everything he did was uncomfortable. Being chased from different places and having to do this and having to go through this and having people hate him and try and argue with him try and take him out and stone him and do different things. And then he goes this way and this happens. All these different things that are going on in his life, his life was uncomfortable. But we got to understand to be Christ-like, our lives are going to be uncomfortable too. We're going to have to live in a manner that maybe we don't want to live. We're going to have to do some things that maybe we don't want to do. You know what, y'all? I'm going to be honest. I don't want to clean the toilets every week. But right now, I'm doing it. Why? Because it's where I'm at. It's what I'm supposed to be doing. It needs to be done. So what? I'm going to do it. I don't want to. I'd rather just stand up here and preach for an hour and then go home. Y'all, that would be amazing. That's what a lot of people think pastors do. They get up there and preach and then they just go home. That's not it. There's a lot of stuff that happens. There's a lot of things that you do as a parent that you don't want to do, but you have to, right? April and I was talking about that she said, I can clean every dirty diaper and not have an issue, but if one of them things throws up, I'm done. I'm out. You know? She's like, I can't clean that up, man. Toby, you have to come get this because I can't do it. There's some things we got to do that we don't like to do, but it's important, and it helps the people that we're doing it for. It's not about us. Our Christian life should be the same. It's not about us. It should be about others. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We got to understand that in this life, in this scripture in Hebrews, it's likening it unto a race that we have to run with endurance. It's not a sprint. It's not a, okay, I did it, and I'm done. It is a You know what I think of it as? Y'all ever seen those races on TV? It's like extreme races or something, and they got to crawl through the mud and jump over the stuff and run around the thing and help somebody up a wall, and then they're in the team. That's what Christianity's like to me, right? Because there's some things that are super difficult. There's some things that are super hard. And then there's some easy parts, right? And this is the thing about it, and when you relate it to that race too, this is the thing about it. It's always easier if you have somebody doing it with you. You can't run the race alone. That's why God said in the scripture, it's not good that man should be alone. It's not good. That's why we feed on relationship. Even the people that are like, I just want to stay at home. I don't want to be around nobody. Do you know what? They're sitting at home probably thinking, I don't know, I'm not that person. Probably thinking, man, I wish somebody would call me. I wish there was somebody I could talk to. I wish these things. I don't know, I'm not that person. So you might need to find one of them. And they may say, no, he's wrong. But I don't think so. I don't think so. I've been wrong before. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. But this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to run the race with endurance. We're supposed to go through the difficult times and understand that it's not about the pain that we're going through. It's about the end result and what happens because I've done these things. What happens because I've done these difficult things. Jesus helps us to be faithful in these ways. He sets these things before us. And this is the thing. There's a scripture everybody said, and I think I said this before too, but it said that God won't put anything on us that we can't handle. And I don't think that's true. I think that's a lie. I mean, there's a scripture that says that, but the rest of the scripture says, but he'll give you a way of escape, right? There are things that we can't go through, right? Just think about Jesus walking on the water and the disciples in the boat, right? They're like, we're going to die. Jesus is like, no, man, come on. Let me come to the boat, and then let me wake up and come to the front of the boat and say, all right, stop, wind. Why couldn't y'all do that, right? He's saying, we are stronger than we think we are in Christ. Whole bunch, right? We can go through things that we shouldn't be able to go through. Why? Because he's there, and he strengthens us, and he helps us get through those things. What's one of the ways that he does that? Because there's many. But the one I'm going to share with you today is Romans 10:17. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ, the word of Christ. Hearing God's word will always build your faith. That's why it's important to do this, y'all. If you have an issue with something, find scriptures about it. You can go online and look them up. You can go online and say, I have a problem with fear. Give me some scriptures on fear. One of the biggest ones for fear is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a self-control. I'm not supposed to be this way right now. He's helped me. He's there to help me to get through these things. I don't need to be afraid of this. Everyone's against me. Ever thought that thought before? Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But everyone's attacking me, don't you understand? 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. But look at my life, I'm a failure. I've got all these things, and I just can't do all these things. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We can overcome these things. Do you know the only time you fail is when you don't get back up and just keep going? That's the only time you fail, right? That's the only time we fail. So according to my coach, we either fail or we learn. Or we either learn or we fail. We learn and don't allow it to happen again. Or we quit and we're done and it's over and we just can't get through that. But that's not who we are. It's not who we should be. Let me say that. It's not who we should be. Well, my finances are so bad, you just don't understand what's going on, and I can't do this and I can't do that. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Start reading that scripture, going through his word, finding scriptures on finances, finding scriptures on fear, sickness. Psalms 103:2-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How many of you know he's got a lot of benefits? Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives you of your iniquity, who heals you of all your diseases. Not some of them. What does it say? All. 1 Peter 2:24. For he himself bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been
healed. Y'all missed that one. Let me do that again. By his wounds, you have been healed.
In God's word, there's something for everything that we go through. Every problem that we have, God's word builds faith inside of us. Why? Because we see some boneheads in there that God did amazing things with. Right? Like, I don't know if they would call themselves boneheads, but you know what? I like to call them that because I think of myself as that sometimes. I'm like, man, why are you so hard-headed? What is this? What does he call us people? Stiff-necked people. You stiff-necked people, right? That's kind of like a bonehead. It's just down a little further, right? You say, but God doesn't speak to me. Let me say this. Don't say God is silent and doesn't speak to you if your Bible's closed. Because God speaks to us through his word. That's why he gave it to us. He speaks to us through his word. There's issues, there's situations, there's problems that are all in here that'll line up. And you say, well, he didn't deal with having to pay his light bill. No, but he had to deal with other things. He didn't deal with having a broke down car. Well, maybe his donkey was sick. I don't know, right? There's issues. There's things they had to deal with, right? But the principles of how we deal with these things are in this book. Every one of them. Every one of them. The next thing that Jesus helps us do is he helps us become more joyful. Again, joy is not what happens to you. Joy is what happens in you. Joy is around us. Again, go back and listen to the books of Philippians when we were talking about joy and having joy in all situations. And then read Galatians 5:22. That's what the kids are going through in kids' church right now. They're going through the fruits of the Spirit. And there's a song and a dance. And I'm not going to do it for you. But ask the kids. They might. Danny's in the back like, yep, we do it on Wednesdays. That's it, man. He knows the dance. He knows it. That's it. But don't do it, Danny. Not right now. Wait till Wednesday. But it says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So according to this, the byproduct of the Holy Spirit being inside of us is joy. That means it's there. That means it's there. It's like, well, I don't, it's like patience. I have a need for patience. Ask for it. Now, when you ask for it, understand, you're going to have some situations you're going to have patience with, right? You're going to go to Walmart. There's going to be three lines open, and you're going to pick one, and you're going to be 15 minutes while everybody else in the other two lines just going through, and you're like, stop using the coupons, lady. You know, that's what you're going to have that opportunity to yell that, but that's not the right time. Because you're being patient, right? You're going to have to go to the DMV and stand there forever. Man, I love this DMV, actually. It's really fast, this one. Like in Baton Rouge, you're there for like 3 hours. Did y'all forget this number? They're like, no, we're going to get to that one in a minute. Y'all on the J's now, and I'm still in C, man. I don't understand what just happened. But you're going to have some issues to have patience. Your kids are going to be super trying, right? Or your coworkers. You're going to get to work and there's going to be some issues. You're going to have to be very patient. Very patient. You ask for joy. Guess what, man? You're going to have some issues that you're going to have to look for the joy in your life. But the cool thing is, again, like we talked about a few weeks back, is that Jesus said the world didn't give it, so they can't take it away. So it is always there, no matter what situation that we have. We got to find it in a situation. Maybe we need to focus on the joy of the situation instead of the other things. I said that the other day. Somebody I might not should have said that to you because they were upset with me. And that one cat meme that you sent me the other day, like you're mad at me. Or it's like, you're judging me. He's like, I just read you a scripture, man. That's all I did. You're doing enough on your own there, right? Just because I said the Bible says this, don't be mad. Say, well, you're saying I'm wrong. No, man, that's not it. But you know what? Sometimes we need to hear those things. Sometimes we need to hear those things. So our joy is strengthened through Jesus. Our faithfulness comes as a byproduct of his Holy Spirit being inside of us and us walking by the Spirit.
You say, I don't have those things in my life. Ask. Scripture says, you have not because you ask not. Ask. And then get ready to go through some things to receive it. Sometimes there's some things we get. We only get through rough times, through issues, through hard circumstances. Muscles, for instance. They only come because you overwork them picking up weights or doing things or doing this. And it hurts. Like, I can't even sit down now, y'all, because I worked out on Friday morning. It's rough. I told him, I ain't coming back. He said, I'll see you Monday at 6:30. I said, okay. But it's one of those things. The only way that certain things come is by going through certain processes, right? The only way I get my diploma is because I went through school, right? Right? That's the only way to get one, right? Okay. I like, do y'all know something? I don't know. Wait a minute. I did it wrong. No. There's certain processes that you have to go through in order to receive things. And sometimes when we ask for joy, you know what? We're going to have some circumstances that aren't so joyful that we're going to have to find it. When we ask for patience, we're going to have some situations where we need to, where we're going to have patience. And we don't want those issues. Again, we don't want the test, but we want to have the testimony, right? But in order to have the latter, you have to have the former. You have to have the test in order to have the testimony. It's a byproduct of him being a part of our lives. Luke 2, 10 and 11 says, the angel said to him, fear not. This is talking about Jesus coming. Y'all ready? Jesus is on his way. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be in you, that will be for all people. Right? For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Because Jesus is here, we have joy. We can always have it. The next thing that we have, Jesus helps us become, is triumphant. Come all you faithful, joyful, and triumphant. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord in your labor, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. That's the exact opposite of what the church feels about today. Like, works aren't important. Like, you don't have to do certain things. You don't have to be here. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do those things, which is so contrary to Scripture that it's ridiculous. I don't have to do anything to earn my salvation. That's a gift. That's a gift. But works comes because I have salvation. Things come out of my life because I have him inside of me, leading me, guiding me to do certain things and to act certain ways and to be different. Scripture tells us, come out from the world and be separate, right? Come out from the world and be separate. That doesn't mean that we're leaving the world and we're not going to be around them, none. No, that means we're going to be standing in the middle of it, but we're going to be completely different. Change is going to be in our lives. We're not going to be movable. We're not going to be swayed by what society says we should and shouldn't be or should and shouldn't do, right? We're going to be who God created us to be. And because of that, there's things going to come out of our lives. And because of that, guess what? He's going to get the glory out of them. Now, again, it may be difficult for me to go through those things. It may be hard on me to stand up and to do whatever it is that he's calling me to do in this situation. I mean, I want to do it, but it's what's needed. You know how many times that I don't want to keep my mouth shut, but I do. Y'all are laughing because y'all know I don't keep it shut a lot, but there's sometimes now. Sometimes. But you know, there's a lot more times that I should keep it shut and I don't. There's sometimes when I should speak up and I don't. There's sometimes where things need to be said, and because I don't want people to be mad, or I don't want people to be upset, or I don't want to cause a problem or have issues that I just you know, it's easier just to let it go and not say nothing. But there's sometimes where we have to stand up and say, that's not right. And this is why. Not because you're an idiot. That's not right because you're an idiot because the Bible says this. No, leave the idiot part out. Just say, that's not right. The Bible says this, right? That's the way we need to do it. Scripture tells us to speak the truth in love, not speak the truth because we love. Like, I love you, so I'm going to tell you you're an idiot. That's not how it works. That's not, and you know what? I've never seen anybody come to Christ because of that. Never. I've never. But I have seen people come to Christ because you sit down next to them in the middle of the mess and the issue that they're in, the same way that Jesus did, not comparing myself to him, but I've seen me sit down in a situation where somebody was in the middle of a situation, and because I didn't judge him in the middle of this, I was able to share Christ to him over here in another time. I might not have been able to bring God to him at that situation, but because I was willing to sit there when nobody else would and listen to him, God gave me an opportunity to share and witness to others. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus wasn't doing all the things they were doing, but he was with them, right? Why was he with them? I love the thing, and I'm going to use your thing. This is Aaron's thing. I'm going to use it, y'all. And it came from Muhammad, right? Glass of water. Elijah Muhammad, Muslim guy. You ready? He said, don't tell somebody they got a dirty glass of water. Set a clean glass of water next to them. Let them see what it's like to have a clean glass of water. And they guess what they're going to want? Clean glass of water. Right? They're going to want a clean glass. So I lost some of y'all at Muhammad. Y'all come back. All right? You know, he's different. He's a different religion. But the principle is true. Okay? You set a dirty bottle of water next to somebody, or a clean bottle of water next to somebody who's got a dirty one. They're going to look at that and be like, where did you get that? Look at what I got. I want that. You know, our lives is the same way. We don't have to say stuff. They already know. You got dirty water. It's like, yeah, it's dirty, but it's the only one I got, right? Well, here, let me tell you where you can get clean water at. Let me show you what it looks like and how it's different. He makes us triumphant, not because we deserve it. You know what the coolest thing about the battles that we face is that this is what the scripture says. Y'all ready? The battle is the Lord, but the victory is mine. Right? He's the one supposed to fight the battles, not me. But because I'm in him, I get victory. Because he's overcome the world. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. This is a prophecy that's coming. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with the righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. It's his battle. It's his victory. He's the one in charge. We just get to stand with him. So you know how I like to put this, y'all? And I'm don't be mad. So I'm an LSU fan. LSU's winning a whole bunch of stuff. Do you know what? I ain't on the team. And I ain't going to get a ring. But you know what happens? I go to people, I'm like, we won a game last night, y'all. It was a good game. Did y'all see what we did? I ain't even a part of it. But you know what? I'm from Louisiana. So he said, I'm part of it. Did you hear Coach O? Could you understand him? If you could, you'd understand. I'm part of it. I'm from Louisiana. I lived in Louisiana. It's for the whole state, right? Look, I didn't fight that battle. I wasn't in that thing. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I wasn't part of the practice. I wasn't part of nothing. But because I'm accepted, guess what? I'm part of the family. That now y'all like, hold up, that's totally different. No, it's the same thing, man. Same principle. Same principle. I don't have to fight the battle, but I'm accepted into his family. Because he's given me that place. He's allowed me to be a part of it. And I don't have to fight the battle. I just got to sit back and watch. And allow him to fight the battle for me is what the scripture says. We need to understand that. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not just a baby. He's not just a baby anymore. He's all grown up. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's done some amazing things for you and for me so that we could have freedom. He does so much for us. But one of the things I want to talk about as I'm closing, guys, you can come on back up. The scripture I want to read to you is John 1:29. It says this: the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." Today, if you need joy in your life, today, if you have sin in your life, I'm going to tell y'all this one little phrase: that Jesus is here. He's here for you. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. See, right now, in this time that I'm supposed to be joyful, in this time that I'm supposed to be free, I feel weary and burdened. I don't feel very faithful. I feel a lot of different things, but it's not what Christ came so that I could have. I feel a bit different than that. And you want to have freedom from it. Again, good news is it's not a process, man. It's a gift that you receive. And it's here for you this morning. He said, this morning, I need that joy. I need salvation in my life. I need my sins to be forgiven. You be honest right now. Nobody's looking around, just me. You say, hey, that's me. I need it. I need forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I need that in my life. Thank you. Thank you. I need that. Again, you can't earn it. It's free. You just have to accept it. And this is what the scripture says, is that when he gives you this gift, it will change you. So you know what? You have to allow change to happen. You have to allow him to change you. You have to be willing to listen and to do what he says, to follow him. I want you guys to say this prayer with me. This is for everybody in the house, because we all need forgiveness. We say it out loud because the scripture says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, then we'll be saved. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, you sent Jesus to die for me so that I could know you, so that I could have freedom from my sin, so that I could have your joy, so that I could have you. I accept it now. Help me be who you created me to be. Help me to change into who you made me. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Some of you be honest this morning and say, "Man, I don't have a lot of joy in my life right now, but I want it." Especially in this season, especially in this time, especially around the people that I'm around, and you need some joy in your life. Just put your hand up. I need some joy. I need some joy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, I need joy. You saw the hands that were raised. You know the hearts that raised them. You know the situations that they're in. You know that even if they're in situations that they can't go through, Father God, you are faithful to us, and you never leave us. You never forsake us. You make a way of escape out of them, Father God. Or you give us the peace and the joy and help us walk through the situation, Father God, so that we can one day help other people that are in the same place that we're in right now. I ask for sickness to be gone in our lives, Father God. I ask for our bodies to be healed in our minds, Father God, in our hearts, in our physical body, Father God, that we would see you moving and working in us like never before, that we would understand your Holy Spirit when he speaks to us, the direction that we need to go, the way that we need to walk, Father God, and who you called us to be. And not only that, but who you called us to go to and to share your love, grace, and mercy. Maybe not by speech, Father God, but more so by showing them a glass of clean water, Father God. Help us not to get prideful when the change comes. Help us not look down on people who are in issues and problems, God, but help us help to pick them up and understand the scripture fully, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, Father God. I ask that you would help us with that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.